Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and I'm honored to have as my guest today my friend Frank Serpico. And Frank is going to talk about his documentary this weekend in the Hudson, New York. So, Frank, tell us a little bit about the movie and where it's being shown.
Well, actually, even though I'm the protagonist, it just came to my attention that it's going to be shown at the TSO warehouse in Hudson, New York, this weekend, the 25th to the 29th at 6 p.m.
Okay.
I've pretty much been kept out of the loop. You know, when people do a documentary about you or a movie, which is the same thing they did with my movie, you know, the director has his own goal and he wants to give his perspective. So that being said, the documentary pretty much is a follow-up of what happened in my police career. People are interviewed from that time, former police officers, and it kind of shows the corruption and who were the real people responsible, like the people at the top as usual, you know?
So I'm sorry.
That it's very revealing in that light.
Okay, terrific. Now, there's only going to be one showing in Hudson on Saturday?
No, it's going to be the 25th through the 29th.
Okay. So if people want to see it and they want to contact the movie theater, do you have a phone number for the movie theater that people can call?
No, but they could look up TSO Warehouse in Hudson, and it'll tell them about the tickets. Also, the movie is, I think, available on Amazon.
Okay.
And it's also being shown at several theaters around the country at this time.
Okay. It was shown at the film festival in New York. Did you make it out to Sundance? Was it at Sundance?
Yeah. In fact, it was purchased by the Sundance Selects. The box office and reservations for the TSL warehouse is 518-822-8100.
Okay. So anybody who lives in the Capital District who wants to see the movie can either call them or go down to Hudson. But if you live outside the Capital District, there's also an opportunity to see it on the internet, right?
Yes.
Okay. How's your book coming along?
Well, you know, it's every time it's very painful for me, but I'm in the editing process right now, and I'm very happy with the way that's coming along. And also, I'm executive producer, which I'm really more excited about. I've been working on it for over 5 years with the director, Joe Stillman, and it's a documentary about Ramsey Clark, former United States Attorney General, who's a very good friend of mine. He's 90 years old at this time. I saw him yesterday. And a lot of people don't know about him, you know, and the great work that he did for civil liberties and civil rights. And he's a really amazing individual. And the documentary is called Citizen Clark, A Life of Principle. And I think, well, he, one of his favorites, as well as mine, is Henry Thoreau, who said, a life without principle is not worth living. And in fact, I also wrote an essay for the 200th anniversary of the Henry Thoreau Society called What Would Henry Do? Essays into the 21st Century. And I was asked by the Society to write an essay, and I was honored to be included in the book, What Would Henry Do? With a feature essay by President Jimmy Carter. And there's a lot of wonderful people in there talking about the environment. And I based my essay on the destruction of my property here in Stuyvesant, which was only allowed to happen by, in my opinion, a corrupt government, including the judge who actually, you know, he violated the law. And I went all the way to, you know, Albany and the Judicial Complaint Review Board, and they're not interested. They're all in bed together, you know. And, you know, that's why one of my favorite orators is Cicero, that it's the only thing that gives me some solace when I think about it. Cicero was way back in 63 B.C. That's before Christ was even born. We had honest politicians who were complaining about the problem which exists today. And Cicero said, when a government becomes powerful, it is destructive, extravagant, and violent. It is a usurer which takes bread from innocent mouths and deprives honorable men of their substance. Vice which to perpetuate itself. And Cynthia, those words don't ring any truer than today what is happening with our government. It's getting ever more powerful, ever more destructive, and ever more extravagant. And I feel, you know, like the fall of Rome, this empire will fall as well. And I pity the children that are being born today that are going to have to reap the hardships that are being planted today.
Now, a couple of years ago, you had runs in your township for the town council. Had you won, do you think that all of the problems that you're encountering would have been solved?
You know, I was just thinking of that today, that I thought, you know, why did I ever do that? You know, I did it because the Democratic Party had requested me. They had no one else to run against the corruption that was embedded here ever since I bought my property in 1968. The problem is we have this inbred corruption that is planted in these little towns. They have their own government. They go from father to son, and then they graduate on and they go to Hollywood. Yeah, I was going to say Hollywood. But they go on to the state capital, and then they go on to Washington and the government. Corruption keeps growing. And that's why I say I take solace in the words of our predecessors. But the only thing you can do is attempt to fight against it. I feel in my life, I will never, although I fought against corruption in the New York City Police Department, and it made the headlines back in 1971-72 about corruption in the New York City Police Department, where payoffs ran into the millions of dollars. And this was, you know, drug money. These were cops doing criminals' work. And I know if your listeners are listening right now, if there are any police officers out there, they're going to say, oh, there's pointing a finger at cops, making it sound like, you know, we're all corrupt. No, you're not all corrupt, but you have to realize that the police department and police work is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity with fantastic benefits to serve your community, your family, and your country. But too many who wear that uniform are not satisfied. They want to live high on the hog. You know, they don't realize that police work is civil service, and it should be an honorable profession, and people should respect them. But unless the police, in turn, respect the people who are paying their salaries, you know, it sounds trite. They're being paid by the taxpayers' dollar. That's what we're being taxed for. But unfortunately, it's become us against them attitude, and it gets us nowhere. And so right now, I can tell you, in the New York State troopers, if anybody's hearing this, you know, the superintendent himself, I will show him proof of corruption in his police department that allows these corrupt people to get away with it, because the judges and the district attorney, they may be the ultimate say-so, but unless the patrolman on the street takes action when a citizen calls him, instead of supporting the corrupt individuals that are destroying our environment, it wouldn't go any higher. But they don't have the courage because they want to put a couple of dollars in their pocket. I have this trooper on tape, on video, when I tried to have this, well, I did have him arrested, a builder who destroyed my property that is continuing to deteriorate as we speak. And it was protected wetlands, and this builder, to put a few lousy dollars in his pocket, destroyed the environment, and the police and the district attorney and the judge let it happen. And that's not what the law is supposed to represent. You know, we put a man in jail for stealing a loaf of bread to feed his family, while these politicians, you know what happened with Enron and the banks and the mortgages, they're robbing us blind. So, again, it's been going on before Christ. It will go on after I'm gone. But at least we could expose it as best we can and hope that someday justice will prevail.
Now, let me ask you this, Frank. You became a police officer in the 60s or the late 50s?
I became a police officer on September 11th, 1959.
Wow. Okay, so at that point, when you joined the police force, I would assume you had very little knowledge of corruption. Am I correct?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it was the other thing about, you know, the cop, you know, taking an apple off the fruit stand. But, you know, Cynthia, in fact, this is in the documentary. We actually go back to my father's shoe shop in Brooklyn that is now a little diner. And I recall when I was in my early teens and a police officer walked in and climbed onto the shoe shine parlor seat and asked me for a shine. And I gave him the best shine I had ever given anyone in my life. I was so proud. And that bum, I call him a bum because that's what he was. He walked down. He never thanked me. He never paid me and never gave me a tip. And that, to me, made a lasting impression that I thought, how can an officer of the law rob me out of my labor? That they dare to think that we owe them something other than their salary and all the benefits that they're getting. You know, I'm a retired police detective. I have dental benefits. I got medical benefits. I got eyeglass, all kinds of benefits. Paid vacation, and they're not happy with that? You know, they should be honored with the privilege of being a police officer. So anyway, a week later, that same police officer was coming back, and my father, who was a shoemaker, he was working in the window, and he saw him, and my father said to me, here comes that piece of crap again. And that's what he was, a piece of crap in a police uniform. He disgraced that uniform and the uniform that every other officer is wearing. And my father confronted him at the door, and he said to him, good morning, officer. Do you want a shine? And he said, yeah. And my father put out his hand, and he says, 10 cents, pay first. And
wow.
This big toad turned around and was never seen again. And that's what my father taught me, to confront authority when it is corrupt.
Okay, so when you became a police officer and you were learning about all the corruption, how did you feel about all of your fellow officers who just went along with it?
Well, I felt terrible. I felt, how can they do this? Don't they realize when they go along with it, they're perpetuating it? But I must say, in all fairness, the good guys that I knew, they just felt helpless to do anything about it. You know, it had been going on since they became police officers, and the only option, or I should say the only other option you had was not to go along with it. And if you didn't, you never got the promotions, you never got the good jobs, you know, you always got the leftovers, the drugs, the bad assignments. I remember one day they assigned me to drive the sergeant, and his name was Sergeant Mitchelson. Now, I'm saying he was a black police sergeant because, you know, people think, oh, the white people and, you know, they do this, or the black people do this. Color doesn't matter. The only color that matters to people who are corrupt is green. And they don't care. They will persecute their own people, their own race, for the sake of money. And this Sergeant Mitchelson got in, and he sat down, and he said to me, where can I pick up 50 bucks in a hurry? And I thought, what? He said, you heard me. Where can I pick up 50 bucks in a hurry? And I knew what he meant. And I said, do you have a bank account? And he said, "Oh, wise guy." And I never got to drive the sergeant again. I got a foot post in the worst possible areas. But I was very active. I made a lot of arrests, and I didn't pick on people. You know, I tried to help them, and I tried to keep them safe, and I delivered babies. And in fact, my record was such that I received the Medal of Honor, which is the highest award given to the police by the police department. And to this day, I don't have the certificate to show that I received it. And oddly enough, just this past Christmas, on Christmas Day, I got a phone call from none other than a former police commissioner. His name was Kellick, and he worked under Giuliani. Now, Kellick wrote a book called, I think, My Mother's Son, in which he tells about the hardships of his life, and he became the police commissioner, and he was later arrested and served time. Now, the thing that makes him stand apart is that before he was arrested, I received a letter from the police department inviting me to the Medal of Honor ceremonies, which they have every year, and all recipients are invited. And I had never been invited. So last Christmas, I get this call, and it's from Commissioner Kirk. And he left a message. I called him back, and he said, "I just wanted to wish you a Merry Christmas and say how much I respect what you did." And I said, "Well, thank you, Kirk." And I said, "And I would like to tell you something, too." I said, "You know, ever since 1972, when I received the Medal of Honor, I have never been invited to a police ceremony other than when you were commissioner. I want to thank you for that, because that's what you call a cop's cop. He knows what a cop goes through to get that medal. And not only that, I complained to other police commissioners. I said, you're disgracing that medal and the men that women that died for it by dishonoring me as a recipient. So getting back to Kellick, Kellick said, "I want to tell you a little story about that." He said, "When I was commissioner," he said, "I told my chief of personnel I want all the old recipients of the Medal of Honor invited to the ceremony." And he came back with a list, and he says, "Did you invite everybody?" And he said, "Everybody but Serpico." And Commissioner Kellick said to him, "I said everybody." And so, again, I appreciate that no matter what he was accused of and what he did, at least he had the honor of honoring the Medal of Honor and inviting me to the ceremony. So that's how the police department still holds me in contempt as the black sheep. Not that I did them a favor and exposed the corruption so they had the opportunity if they wanted to clean it up, but because I exposed their dirty laundry in public.
So your movie will be shown this coming weekend, and it's also, if they want to watch it on TV or on the internet, how can they do that?
Well, it's on, what is that site? I don't think it's Netflix, but they can also Google Frank Serpico documentary, and it's on Amazon.
Okay.
Amazon is carrying it, yeah.
Okay. And your book? How's your book coming along?
Well, as I said, it's in the editing process, and And there I hope to lay out everything, my feelings. That's a memoir. I feel like I've been working on it all my life. And, you know, things that happened to me while living abroad. And, you know, the amazing thing is that when I went to Europe to live, to get my life back, the current commissioner, who was Patrick Murphy, who, to my knowledge, you know, never took any money, but not taking any money doesn't mean you're an honest man, because he never really supported me. In fact, I confronted him one day, and I blamed him with my getting shot, because I said to him, he was at my alma mater, the John Jay College of Criminal Justice. He was given a lecture, and he wrote a book called The Commissioner, in which he exposes himself in his own words. And I said to him at the college, I said, "My name is Frank Serpico. I'm a retired New York City police detective," because there's all this conjecture about, was I set up? What happened? And I said to him, "Commissioner, you came into power on my charges of police corruption, because they brought him in to clean up the corruption. He came into the New York City Police Department as a patrolman like everybody else, and one of his first assignments was in plain clothes, where all the corruption starts. And he knew about it, and he got out of it and never did anything about it. And then he went on to become a captain, and then he left and became a commissioner and a chief in Detroit and other states, and then he came back to New York to, you know, clean up the corruption that I and the Knapp Commission that formed as a result was investigating. So I said to him, "You came into power on my charges of police corruption. You could have protected me. Instead, you put me in harm's way." He assigned me to the most dangerous assignment there was, undercover narcotics, where I got shot. And I said, "You could have protected me. Instead, you put me in harm's way." I said, "What have you got to say for yourself?" And he started stammering, and I kind of felt sorry for him because he was, you know, getting on in his years. And he says, and then I said, "Let me read from your own book, confidential," which means he sent it to his superior officers, and he put a copy in the book. "What do I do with this guy Serpico? Do I give him a special assignment in internal affairs where I can keep my eye on him?" Or he said, "The press and the media have me on the spot to show I'm bigger than the system and reward him," which he never did, by the way, okay? Mm-hmm. And I said, "If that wasn't bad enough, you had the gall to write on the very next page, looking back 4 years after, as the head of the National Chief of Police in Washington, I do not think promoting Serpico was the right thing to do." And so you see what happens? As they say, Cynthia, the crap floats to the top. It keeps going higher all the time. And these people have no morals. They have no backbone. They have no soul. They sell it either for a dollar or a vote.
Frank,
this very day, to this very county, let me just say this. I was hurt more by the corruption in this county than I was by the corruption in the New York City Police Department. So if anybody wants to think, does it get better, it only gets worse.
Wow.
Look at what we got in Washington right now.
So when you come out with your book, can you come back on Focus on Albany to share your thoughts about your book, and maybe we'll talk about.
Sure, I think we were even thinking about being a regular. You once invited me, you know.
Yes, I did. Yes. But you know, anytime you want to be on, just give me a call, and we can take, you know, half hour, 45 minutes, and chat a little bit. But when your book does come out, I'd like to have you back on. So give us tell us again about your movie this weekend.
Yeah, and I also just got invited to speak at Oxford, the Oxford Union Lecture Series. That, you know, at first I thought, wow, Winston Churchill, a couple of presidents, got invited there. It was quite an honor. I know, the last time I looked, they invited Al Chapman, and I thought, how the mighty has fallen, you know, so I don't know if I'm going to bother.
Oh, wow. Well, Frank, so I look forward to speaking with you again. You have a wonderful day, good luck this
also,
weekend.
Also, thanks to your listeners, and the best of all years, because this is the one life we have to live.
That's correct. So thanks, Frank. Have a wonderful day, and thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thank you. Bye-bye.